Now, the point here one needs to remember is that reality isn't all cracked up to be. Very little in life should be viewed as incontrovertibly real. One cannot say for sure that this will be like this all the time. That's what it means. What appears to be absolutely stable, unchanging, might change tomorrow. Did we ever think that we as a nation would be going into such a global situation? Some 30, 40 years back, we never thought of it. Many things about one's life we can see. When you think that this is it, this is the reality about my life, suddenly something happens. So nothing is incontrovertibly real. We are usually connected to reality by our model of it. And if there is an overriding lesson to take away from the movie Crash, it is that anything we think real is actually a model of our reality. That model is probably imperfect in some important aspects. I may be missing out on some points. Right? The second stance, opposing models are to be leveraged and not feared. There is much to be gained from the recognition that no model has a lock on reality, but that all models reflect reality from a particular angle, particular perception, point of view. It becomes possible to assemble a fuller, though probably not complete, model of reality by incorporating a variety of other models. I look at something from this angle where I'm standing, then I move to another place, and from there I look at it from a different angle. So I'm getting two different stances. One stance, one tool, one experience. Another stance, another tool, another experience. So I may not capture the entire reality, but I will have more features of the reality. I would have more features of the reality, which is important. The more features of reality means I have more choices, more options for handling complex situations. Right? The salient data that was once overlooked, causal patterns that formerly went unnoticed, architectural possibilities that once went unexplored, all these things were not seen by you from different angles. You did not have more salient data with you. You did not have more causal patterns. You did not have different architectural frameworks, right? Now, because of that, what happens? You have a problem. Opposing models are the richest source of new insight into a problem. They give you multiple points of view. Traffic congestion in a city, seen from the viewpoint of the authorities who run the city, the municipal authorities, seen from the viewpoint of the common man, seen from the viewpoint of a person who's coming here for a vacation to the city, all are different views. So they give you the richest source of new insight into a problem. They are learning opportunities to be appreciated, welcomed, and understood. They are a must for creative and productive stance. If I have to solve a complex issue of the city, for example, I need to go through a brainstorming and catch hold of all different people who are a part of the city. Each one will give me some idea about what he or she thinks about the city. It can be a group, a community, maybe one member, maybe a body, maybe an institution. Now, when they give different aspects of it, I come to know how the city is being viewed by different people with respect to that complex issue. And then emerges an integration of addressing the problem which is part of the majority, right? Some degree of conflict occurs when two or more people look at the particular slice of reality and try to model it. The existence of clashing version is to be expected and not feared. It's bound to happen, right? Better models exist that are not seen. Third one, the next step in learning integrative thinking is to cultivate the belief that better models exist that are not yet seen. At the broadest level, there are two conceptual approaches for considering and evaluating theories about how the world works. One is what is called as a contended model defense. The second one is called as an optimistic model seeking. In simple terms, it means contended model defense means its most prevalent model. It is a factory setting for most people who are unconscious of its operation. They are not aware of it. What is it? When we follow this approach, we adopt a theory and seek support and defend it. Contended model defense will say, for example, if I take a stand saying that life is overall unpleasant, then what I'll do is I will adopt this theory that life is overall unpleasant, and then I will start seeking support and defending it. I look for, through my experiences, through my tools of thinking, through my tools of action, I will actually prove that what I'm saying is right. And these are also called as self-fulfilling prophecies. Self-fulfilling prophecies. Whenever I have something pet, a pet peeve as you call it, something which is very favorite of mine, I will not only think in that direction, I will not only get experiences, but I'll prove to the world that it exists. I'll market it to the world. And that's exactly what happens when we follow this approach of content and model defense. This is the way, this is the best way to do. By doing this, what do? I accumulate data in support of the theory and ignore the ones that doesn't. I get a feeling that I have achieved the ultimate goal. I start living in the illusion that I am the most successful person. What have I done is, I've taken a stance, I've reinforced the stance through tools and experiences, and then I've influenced so many people to tell them that this is success. It's like the Western countries telling India that we are backward. And how did they tell us we are backward? They told us we are backward based on what they thought is prosperity. A struggling nation like US years back, I'm just giving an example, I'm not taking sides. This is for the purpose of discussion. You know, they had material success, material glory after the second industrial revolution, and there was a huge amount of, you know, boom in their economy, cars and electronics and this and that happened. So when they come here, they see us not like them, we are different. We wear dhotis, we are dark skinned, and we live in joint families, we live in villages, we draw water from the well. So when they look at us, they tell us, look, this is not life, this is life. And many of us got sold out to what they thought is richness. Today, the 21st century Indian realizes that richness is not about money alone, it's something more than that. So they sold materialism very successfully to us by telling us their paradigm, their stance of contented model defense. And we were not clear about what we are, and we started looking at ourselves as slaves. We are the colored skin, we are the natives, we put what are called as caste marks, these are the words they use, and they try to tell us that we are inferior, and most of us believed. And the sad part of it is, today many Indians among themselves, we have discrimination, saying that if I am desi looking, I am not up to the mark. I have to talk English, then I feel good. I have to talk chaste English, I must wear Western outfit, then only I am with the world. This is some contented defense model on which people operate. We get apologetic about many things because we are not clear about our stance. If you are clear about your stance, this contented defense model coming from one group of people will be contested by you and me. Did we not create the best scholars in this country? Did we not have the best of mathematicians, astrologers, astronomers, physicists, etc.? But we never marketed it. Because we did not market it, it has all gone into the oblivion because of the contented defense model with the Western world tells us that we are no good. They have not said this in so many words, but somewhere what they did is coming out big and huge and powerful as if that is the only thing. We didn't do it. Our paradigm of working is not that. We don't live like that. Right? Now, I'm giving you this macro example because this will demonstrate to you how small nations, they have so much of strength, and when a large nation is too very big and starts marketing itself, they try to tell the small nations, you're no good. This is exactly what we do in our day-to-day life also. In a home of say two or three sons, one son is very successful. He starts marketing his success to the other two brothers and he says, if you don't do what I do, you're no good. The other two brothers are carving their own destiny, their own life. One becomes a photographer as is shown in Three Idiots. One becomes, let's say, a sportsman. And then the elder brother is seen by everybody, including the family members, as the most successful. The other two are loafing around, even if they are successful. Contented defense model. Contented model defense. So many examples we can draw wherein the stereotypical thinker, the stereotypical types who get stuck up in that one success factor and they start condemning others is the contented model defense. Right? The problem with the single-mindedly seeking to justify and confirm the veracity, the trueness of one's existing model is that the contented model defender won't treat confirming data as valid, much less salient. You tell him something about somebody, he'll not accept it. They'll not accept the fact. For example, we have a beautiful family system in India. Now, they start looking at it very funny. We have an arranged marriage in India where the arranged marriage works. And the Western world thinks that how come you're marrying someone who's a stranger? They don't realize that we are living in a different world where we make things happen. Today, Indians are making things happen in the global scenario also. Look at all the business leaders in the world. They're all Indians. And we are having this beautiful thing about the next model which I'm talking. And they wonder, how come we are doing this? How come you get married to a lady whom you do not know? Arranged marriage. And they wonder that how we do things so very religiously. Why do we go to this temple? Why do we put these dot marks, etc.? They wonder. It's not them. And so they think like that. And some of us, we get drawn into that. We get pulled out of our own uniqueness, which we are. Every human being is unique. Every culture is unique. And we become prey or we become victim to the contended model defense. We become victims to that. Right? When we go into defensive mode, we short-circuit any attempt to seek more accurate model. Had we wanted to see it, Farhad would have found plenty of data to disconfirm his model in that movie. Okay? Contented model defenders want to have a ruling theory because when it's confirmed, they can return to the resting state, all their certainties in place. See, I told you now, this is the way it is. I know it because I've done it. This is what these people will say. These so-called successful people who reach some pinnacle of success, who are known people, they tend to become this. I'm not saying all become like that. If you're very successful, you're prominent, you start advising people that my way is the best way. And then, on the obverse side of it, you'll say that whatever you're doing, which is not the way I do it, is wrong. And so people start modeling them, they start following them. Integrative thinking is very clear. It says be original. Be original, not to follow anybody. Integrative thinkers have got a common software, but each one is unique. Remember that. Right? The reigning Western model of education, with its emphasis on finding a single right answer, supports its tendency. Can you get single right answers in a subject like behavior? No. If somebody is rude with me, is a single interpretation of that saying that he is rude with me because he doesn't like me? Can we say that? There are many aspects of life where you don't get single answer for a single question. There are many people who have gone into logicians' way of looking at life. They become very good critical logicians. And they start looking at life as either or. When I smile at you, I'm a good guy. Logicians will say. When I don't smile at you, I really don't care for you. They come to the conclusion very, very firmly. There are many aspects of life which are having which are in between 0 and 1. They are not binary. It's something gray area. And that's the gray area we are talking about in integrative management. Right? So within the contented model defense stands, an alternative or clashing model is a problem to be eliminated. If somebody talks something which is not in line with my say, I have to cut it down. Then what I do is I go into the either or approach. Contented model defense says, I have to defend myself. I'm contented with my model of whatever I'm doing. I don't even want to look at you. Get lost. Okay? It's a threat and must be disbelieved. Now we come to the next one, optimistic model seeking. A more productive alternative to defending one existing model against all challenges, the stance of the optimistic model seeker. The optimistic model seeker doesn't believe there is a right answer, just the best answer available now. As of now, it is the best answer. Now, this is a beautiful way in which, I don't know whether you agree with me or not, our Indian culture operates on this. Those of you who do cultural studies, those of you who really mix with the ethnic communities of this land, you go to interiors, meet people, you know, we may not get definitive answers for many questions. Isn't it a fact? When the definitive answer doesn't come to a logical mind, he rejects that person saying that this fellow doesn't know anything, he's an idiot. or when an answer comes to you and you take it definite that this is it, again you are fooling yourself. Everything is dynamic. I seek an opinion about somebody XYZ. So that gentleman tells me, hey, he's a good guy. I bet my bottom rupee on him. He is a good guy as of now. Good with respect to what he thinks is good. Now he could be a good guy, he could be a bad guy. Today he could be a good guy, tomorrow. So this keeps alternating. So there is nothing definitive about it. So what the optimistic model seeker does, he says, fine, that's the answer I've got today, but there must be a better model coming up. People who work towards excellence in industry, industrial leaders, I've seen them do this. A team works towards a project, excellent project they work towards, and they come out with an excellent output. But these leaders are looking at the output and they say, fine, what next? And when they ask what next, the team that is working, if they are not integrative thinking, they'll feel frustrated. If the team members comprise of people who are linear thinkers, who are into the first model, they'll say, we have worked so hard, and is this what you're saying? No, that's not what they're saying. These leaders are saying that, look for the next one, look for the next milestone. Take it ahead. Now, when they say take it ahead, they are not decimating, they are not sidelining the present excellent output, but they are just telling you, this is not everything, there is something more to it. It's waiting for us. Let's go there. And when we go there, we stand competitively ahead of the of our next competitor. We get an advantage. Now, this paradigm, this thinking has to be understood. It is not macho thinking to pull down somebody. It is not to irritate people. It is to tell you, don't get content with what is happening as a success now. Think of what is a success for tomorrow. They have the patience, but they display impatience. You notice this. They have the patience, but they display impatience. Display, I use the word. Display means what? They say, fine, do something, do next. What's next? Keep on doing something different. So they keep on constantly thinking. How do they think? Not in frustrated terms, but keeping their hands on their head. They start thinking in terms of, wow, there's something happening. Okay, we are not seeing this model. Let's see what can happen. So the whole team gets empowered. If everybody in the team is integrative thinker, he'll say, fine, this is the best we have done so far. What next? And they start putting all the six different things, three about the self and three about the world. And then they start going ahead. This is not to say that you are unhappy. This is just to tell you that although I'm happy, I'm very content with what has happened, this is not it. Let me move further. Like we say, excellence is a path. Excellence is a path which we need to constantly keep on walking in. We have to walk on the path of excellence. And while we are walking on the path of excellence, at some points we get milestones. These milestones are the success of our efforts till that point. On a milestone, you don't sit there. You may sit for a while, take a sip of water and then proceed further. Many of us, you know what we do? We sit on the milestone and we say, this is it. Excellence is a constant journey. And if I want to be constantly on the path of excellence, I need to understand that there are milestones that keep coming. Milestone has come. I have dwelt upon my success for a day or two, maybe about a month or so, and then I move on. And now look at the way some of us, individuals as well as organizations, we blow the trumpet so much about successes which happened 10 years back. Today our status quo is nothing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to an integrative thinker. What are the capabilities you have today? Have you evolved? Have you moving around? You were at the right time, at the right place at some time, so you made your profits. Times have changed. Have you also changed? Have you also gone ahead? Have you adapted? Have you taken it further? Have you put the six stances in your life? Companies have closed down post-1991 because many companies did not have leaders who were able to think in these terms. They were very rigid about what they thought is correct. So many years of investment of success in a controlled regime. Pre-1991, very close regime we had. So in that controlled regime, years of success. Suddenly when the whole damn thing opens up, they do not know how to handle it. Except the smarter ones, the ones who thought of the larger picture, they stayed back. And what they did was they quickly adapted. A very, very conservative business house has suddenly become liberal. They become liberal because they realize that today's position requires liberal thinking, liberal action. We can't keep doing the way we were doing traditionally some decades back. That business houses realized it. Some business houses which were very conservative, very successful, they got washed off. Because somewhere along the line, they were not open to the changes and see the larger picture. Right? Let's take the next one. American philosopher Charles Sanders Peirce called this the fallibist stance because it presumes that all models are fallible. Fallible means fallible. Something can go wrong. Even the most perfect model has its flaw. They are not fault finding. They are just saying that it's working so far, something might happen. Let's look for something better. The Challenger went up. Within minutes, it crashed. A small thing like a piston ring or an O-ring, actually, which is costing a few cents, it failed. Did it not happen? Now, things could be working. Things could be working well. It doesn't mean that there are parts in that particular system which are bound to fail. So we keep researching. We try to see if we can do something better than what is going on right now. Instead of having that particular thought process, we say, if it ain't broke, why fix it? You know, most of us believe in the fact that if something is running well, why fix it? We are not saying that what is running well, you break it. What is running well? Are there any weak links in that? So can I improve on the weak link so that it doesn't occur as an accident or a disruption or a breakdown in the future? Right? Until the better model emerges, present best model should govern. But fallibilism assumes that best current model will be eclipsed in due course. So many examples we come across. Cell phone industry, okay, even the consumer goods industry, engineering industry, for example, best practices were going on at one point of time. Those best practices have vanished and newer best practices have come. Right? Many things which were ideal in a certain condition at a certain point of time are no more relevant. They are all completely washed away. Right? For optimistic model seekers, their resting state is not certainty. They are not always in a state of certainty. They won't say that this is it. They say, yeah, this is it at the moment, now. But something more has to emerge. We have to keep going. They are forever testing whether they think they know what they think they know against the best available data. Their goal is a refutation of their current beliefs, because refutation represents not failure but an advance. Refutation means I challenge my own success. I challenge my own thinking. Although people say that you're very good in what you're doing. When I do this, when one does this, the most successful person, success being when everybody's clapping and saying, wow, you've done a great job and you have done one. At that point of time is the weakest moment of a person, because that's the time he never refutes himself. I'm successful, I'm good, people accept me. So he starts feeling that this is it. But it's that time he got to sit down and ask a simple question. What are my flaws which others have not seen? What are the things that I am doing which is not understood by others? Could I refute my own success factors? This is not negative thinking. This is not pessimism. This is just to tell you that I want to prepare myself for an advance. It's not about something looking at yourself negatively. Certainly not. The point from where you're asking this question to yourself about questioning your present success is that. Right? Each new model, while an improvement, is still imperfect and replaceable in due course with a still better model. This stance is optimistic, as it implies future models will be superior to the current models. Okay? Optimistic model seeking reinforces and empowers the integrative thinking stance. Integrative thinkers look for and enjoy opposing models because they see the presence of an opposing model as evidence that a better model can and will emerge. They see the value of in the complexity of multiple models, and their preference is always to wait for a better model to emerge rather than justify the existing model. Bob Young said that when an asset is dismissed by others, it's a sign that it should probably be purchased. Like we see in the stock market, when the market is falling down, the general tendency is to sell. If there is a thing called a contrarian approach, when everybody is selling, you buy. The real estate price comes down, you buy. Now it requires an integrative thinker to understand that I must buy it when it's cheap. When the stock market is going up, people try to buy more instead of selling. Just one thought process I'm giving you. There are many things like this. So when an asset is dismissed by others, it is a sign that it should probably be purchased. One of the steel magnates used to buy steel units in certain parts of the world. There was a sick unit available in the Far East. He went and bought it. Everybody felt that, what are you doing? But he made that sick unit into something worthwhile. When a thing is being rejected by others, you look into it, it may have value for you. Right? Lee Chin said, when securities go out of favor, I see an opportunity. Something which I stole sometime back. K.V. Kamath said, I want to match the IT capabilities of the bank's international competitors, but at a tenth of their cost. Toss out the standard models of managing a bank IT infrastructure. Said, I'll see that I do it my way, using my own IT people, and I'll make it better than what an IT standard IT company would give me. Right? Robert McEwen put the geological information about Red Lake mine, owned by Goldcorp, of which he was a then CEO. There was a lake mine, and he gave an information on the internet and announced prices for the best ideas on where Goldcorp should drill for gold. What he did was, Robert McEwen, he gave this information. Geological information is about the land where the gold mine, the gold is supposed to be available. The gold, the ore is available. The gold nodes, as you call them, right? And he put this thing. The ideas from McEwen's internet challenge transformed Goldcorp's Red Lake mine from an underperforming asset to the most productive gold mine in the industry. So he said the best ideas which come from people will be given prizes. We must, for us to cultivate integrative thinker stance, we must first become aware of our own tendency to resort to contented model defense. Recognize that you are having a contented model defense to begin with. Number one, we need to come to see optimistic model seeking as a legitimate approach. It is the approach which is going to take us towards our own glory. Avoid to think it is true because that is the way God meant it to be. Now this is philosophy. Stop thinking that's the way it is, we can't do anything about it. Resigning to the fate, right? Adopt the logical circulatory, I treated him fairly in the transaction as I am a fair person. It's about you. Many a time, a good human being with good intentions does some work. Now he transacts with someone, and because of that someone's perception about life and about this person, he gets a bad name. And this person, if he's not aware and really having a good self-esteem about himself, he will start feeling that, look, I'm no good because somebody else, a person who's very powerful, has said so about me. You start sulking. It could happen in some appraisals in companies I've seen. A good manager, worked very hard, very sincere person, due to some reason, you know, he's been undermined. You know, because the company undermines him, he starts feeling low about himself. Now your locus of control is not outside, it's inside you. You are the architect of your joy, you are the architect of your sorrow. Yeah, we are living in a relative world where people are evaluating us. An organization is evaluating you, certainly. But then the evaluation is evaluation, that's it. But taking it personally and not telling this to yourself is quite disastrous for the person. When you are a person of a strong thinking, when you are a person who starts looking at yourself more as a resourceful person, then you start thinking that I'm a fair person. If you're transacting with people, and then like it happens in the stock market sometimes, long back it used to happen. Sub-brokers, we had this sub-broker group of people who used to take transactions on behalf of retail customers and deal and buy and sell shares for them. Those were the days when we did not have the online trading, they were paper shares. The materialized share, today it is DMAT. Now during those days, I remember some sub-brokers, good people, the stock market was operating in a certain manner those days. Okay, and because of the manner in which it was operating, it used to happen that the deliveries of the shares or the checks coming to the people who sold shares were not coming on time. Now you are a customer and you have sold some shares and the check is supposed to be coming on say date X, and I'm a sub-broker. I don't give you an X. X is over, 1 day is over, 10 days are over, yet I've not given you the check because it's not come from my broker. You know what happens? You start condemning me and my intentions. It has happened. Now what happens to a person like me if I do not tell this to myself? I must first and foremost set the tone with me and you. I'm a fair person. There are a lot of fair people, good people, who are stuck up in a particular situation wherein other things are not working and they are condemned. Make sure you're not one of them. When we are in a system, the entire system doesn't work the way we want it to be. Everybody is not fair in a system. But if you want to adopt this particular model of being optimistic, then you have to first tell yourself that, look, I'm giving the best shot to what I'm doing. I'm fair to myself, I'm fair to people. Sometimes results don't come. Delay in paying you a check doesn't mean I am a cheat. This is what people do. Now, this is something which is coming from a contented model defense approach. People say delay is equal to cheating. In the financial market, this is very common. I'm not saying all people who delay are not cheating. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving an example about how this thinking has to be understood by you and me. So learn to get into this. I treated him fairly in the transaction as I'm a fair person. Set the tone, give the signals, see that the dealings are going in that fashion, and be a very open person. So gradually what will happen is people start seeing you as a fair-minded person. So when there's a delay of something, you know, transaction, they know that this person is a good person, he is fair-minded, I'm sure it will come, it's sooner or later it will come to me. Right? Examine your beliefs closely. What sort of belief systems you are carrying in you? Beliefs to me is nothing but my values which are tested with number of experiences. I have a value for say money and I go through a number of experiences of money. I give money to people, I take money from people, and then I get a cumulative experiences with my values, and then I may form a belief saying that yes, people could be trusted about money. That could be my belief system. So I need to examine my beliefs and then I need to look into my beliefs frequently. My beliefs may come from a very limited number of experiences. There may be more experiences which I have not gone through. So my belief cannot be so strong saying that this is the way it is. Okay?